Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran giving you that Friday energy on a Monday. Hey, Toots, how you doing?
Are you okay?
Yeah, it's Sunday.
Yeah.
Just feeling that New York attitude. You're looking like a
New York attitude.
You're looking like a Toots to me.
It is very nice outside right now, which helps for sure. I also love how we always start the podcast by throwing out like five different days of the week. Like, Friday energy on a Monday. It's Sunday, y'all.
Like, it's just like so.
What day is it?
We've been doing that for way too
long. Time.
We've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
We have to stop doing it. Probably not considering.
Happy Monday, everyone.
Happy Monday. It's Sunday, though. Yeah. Okay, not to confuse everybody.
Yeah.
It's Monday when you're listening to this. Hopefully, hope everybody had a great weekend. Fran and I are like matching right now. We're both in green, which I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying the green on both of us. It looks good. How are you doing today?
Good. It's been a...
Give me something better than good.
I'm elaborating. Let me elaborate.
No, no, no. You can't use the adjective good.
My
acting teacher. My acting teacher taught me when I was younger.
The right answer.
The right answer. And it's never to say good or great.
Yeah.
Because everybody says good or great.
Yeah.
You got to come up with something that's going to stand out. How are you doing today?
I can't even think of any other words.
Excellent.
Fantastic. You say fantastic for everything.
I do say fantastic.
But
fantastic?
To be honest, I'm not feeling fantastic today.
Oh. Okay, why? Tell
well,
us why.
Well, no,
then.
No. I mean, not. I just feel like I want to say fantastic for a really good day.
Okay.
I feel good.
Mediocre. Oh, my. Imagine somebody asking you, how do you feel today? Mediocre.
I'm a little hungover. I could be feeling a tad better if I wanted to hit the
hungover.
Fantastic level. Yeah, but I'm not like. I don't want to label myself as hungover right now because I don't feel like I could be a lot worse.
Oh, Noah, she has allergies.
Yeah, it could be a lot. Could be a lot worse.
Her allergies are acting up.
Yeah, could be a lot worse.
When we first started this show and Fran would be slightly hungover, not fully, she would text me and Noah and be like, guys, I have allergies. I'm running late. Me and Noah would be like, no, we know
on top
what allergies.
Of also having
like,
allergies.
We can see your Instagram.
Yeah. We know what you did last night. Your allergies didn't kick in.
Yeah. Well, they act up in the morning.
Yeah. Totally.
From time to time.
Totally. So why are you feeling a little hungover? Got some drinks in?
Yeah, it's basketball weekend. It's, you know, the March Madness. Now it's nice because the city's somewhat open. You can go sit in a bar, sit at a table, watch some games, which has been very nice. So did that and had a lovely time. But I don't know. I think on top of like I had multiple potential apartment celebration drinks. Not celebration drinks. But Friday night, I was like, we found it. This is the apartment. 100%. Joe and I went to grab a drink. We were like, tell, we're going to sign the lease, do the whole thing, like, whatever. We order a drink. I get a text. An applicant submitted literally 2 hours ago. So, and then
wait,
you
hadn't submitted your app and you
No,
celebrated?
No, no. It was.
That's bold.
We had left the apartment showing with the agent being like, no, you guys are good. We don't have any other applications. Like, so we were like, okay, we're good. We're going to put it in. We're good. This is a decision. Because we were debating between a couple places. This is a decision.
Celebration drinks.
Yeah. Yes, I may have jinxed it a billion times.
You pulled a Michelle.
I've done it a billion times. So it has been happening all week. The celebration drinks turned into goodbye apartment. You were
drinking
so beautiful.
Your sorrows
sad
away.
Drinks.
Oh.
Which may have affected the weekend, but then we looked at more places on Saturday, and now we'll see what happens. But tonight is literally the apartment decision because it is a condo. There's an owner, and the owner received multiple applications, and the owner, Saturday I had to write like a summary of myself and Joe. And like, we're auditioning. Present. We're no joke auditioning for this apartment. We are auditioning for this apartment. So Sunday night.
Sell it to me. Sell it to me.
Sunday
what did
night,
you say?
I got a text. On Sunday night, I will get a text. Well, this morning.
Oh my God.
I know. Words. This morning, I was told that the decision will be made tonight. It was like the owners will be making their decision this evening. And then you will know. So straight up, the decision is this evening.
Can you read your letter to us?
I would love to hear the description.
I'd love to hear the way you described yourself and Joe. I must hear.
We usually go
the people want to know so bad.
Okay.
I'm literally smiling from ear to ear, ready for this.
So it's very, we were told we need to say like where we're from, like what we do, yada, yada, yada.
Okay. I'm the owner of the condo.
Okay.
Go.
So this says, hi.
Give me the seller voice.
We
too.
Are Joe Riley and Francesca Mariano. We've been dating for him, Joe, up this to 5 years. It's only been 4. And are looking for the perfect apartment for us. Joe grew up in Enter. I'm not going to like give out all Joe's personal information.
Okay.
In city. And Francesca in Chatham, New Jersey. We both have secure full-time jobs. Joe is a blank. That's his job. And has worked there for 5 years.
Construction worker.
Yeah, whatever you want Joe to be, the fill in the blank. Francesca works at Barstool Sports, one of the biggest podcast networks and sports media companies. She hosts multiple podcasts. Her show, Chicks in the Office, is one of the biggest on the network. Both are incredibly stable at work and think apartment number.
Fran pulled out Ron Burgundy.
Is the perfect spot for us.
I don't know if you know who I am, but yeah. Kind of a big
Fran
deal.
Fran writes, she boasts over 500,000
I almost
followers.
Put my Instagram
on there.
You get
this many downloads.
Well, I was kind of afraid. I was like, you know what? I feel like if I push this too hard, it could be a turnoff. Like the owner could be like, oh, we don't want this girl living in our apartment.
Yeah, that influencer.
So I tried to keep it subtle, but also be like, look. Well, because you have to.
Look, I got connects.
No, but you have to also explain it where it's like, hey, I'm a podcast host and I'm like a salaried employee.
Right. Because I make money.
An owner could hear podcast host and be like, what's your actual job?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, that's
so
true.
I was like, I had to make it clear that, like, no, this is my actual
maybe
job.
He's a big,
I can afford to do this.
Maybe he's a Barstool fan.
One can only hope. One can only hope. So the decision will be this evening, and we'll see what happens.
The decision.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, we audition for this apartment. Hopefully we get a call back.
That would be awesome. As casting director,
I'm getting
I would
secondhand
give you a
anxiety just from this whole process for Fran.
Yeah, like, I know. It's been, Yeah. However, if this does fall through, we have a really good backup that hopefully will still be available.
How in love with this apartment are you from, like, on a scale of 1 to 10?
A 10.
Oh, really?
10.
What floor?
9. Oh. It's a smaller building. It's a condo, but I can walk to work. Mm. It's beautiful. It has everything I want. Good closets.
Yeah.
Dual
important.
Sinks.
Important.
Really looking to those dual sinks just
Fran
hit
loves
different.
Dual sinks.
Just his and her sinks just hits different.
Yeah, definitely.
So no, I'm hoping that this is the spot, but you never know. So it's all up to the
we
owner.
Hope you get the part.
Yeah,
we're rooting for
really
you once
hope
again.
I get the part.
We're rooting for you.
How are you, Maria?
That sounded like I was in trouble.
Yeah, because I'm. Yeah.
Oh!
I was waiting to see what you would say. Take a hard look in the mirror. I'm good. Thanks for asking.
I almost just choked.
Yep.
Oh,
well,
my
hypocrite.
God.
Yeah.
I know.
Walked right into
I
that
did.
One.
Oh, I'm such a hypocrite. Oh, I'm mediocre.
Yeah.
I'm mediocre. No, my weekend was fine. I didn't do anything at all besides hang out with Norm.
Hank's gone,
and he's in Chicago for work.
You sent me some really cute pictures
of Norman,
though. Holy shit.
Just, like, he's so cute. It's unreal. He really is. People have been really being mean about my dog online. I really don't post about him as much because...
You don't.
His mean comments to him, like,
you
really hurt me.
Don't want to subject him
I don't
to that kind of
to
commentary.
Subject him to that.
Yeah.
And they hurt me more than mean comments about myself hurt myself. Like, somebody wrote that my dog was like super weird and like was so mean about him, and I genuinely couldn't even look Norman in the eye after I read that. I was like, they think you're weird. Like, I can't even handle that. So I don't really post. It's like people not posting about their kid, but he's just too cute to not post pictures sometimes. He's so freaking cute. I love him so much. So we spent the whole...
I feel like his Instagram has been pretty...
I haven't posted since October.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a little dick pic situation came out. He had a little scandal.
Had to take some time away.
Right. He wanted to step away from the internet. So.
Yeah.
But he's so cute. We spent the whole weekend together. I watched 2 seasons of Survivor. Not proud of the amount of TV
I watched Survivor.
It's so good. I used to watch when my parents
watched. I don't even think one episode like randomly when I was little.
Oh, really? My parents watched every season growing up. So I loved Thursday nights when Survivor was on and I got to sit on the couch and watch with my family. But I obviously haven't watched in years. So I put on the seasons that were on Netflix and oh man, they're so good. Highly recommend. I watched one full season from Friday night to Saturday, and then I'm almost done with the second season.
Right.
Like, that's sick. That's 2 full seasons of Survivor in one weekend. Not healthy, but I wasn't doing literally any. I literally did not get my ass off the couch unless it was to walk Norman or play with him. So. Yeah.
And I would like the record to state that I did try and get you to.
No, you invited me out.
Yeah. I just would like. I couldn't. On the books.
It was funny because Fran invited me out starting at like 3 p.m. And each hour I'd be like,
what are you doing now? What are you doing now?
I was just like,
I'm thinking about showering.
Later, I'm thinking about showering. I'm thinking about doing this. And then it hit like 8 o'clock and I was like, I am not going anywhere. It's very clear. I had to break the news. I was like, I don't think I'm coming.
Yep.
But Fran,
there's a certain point too when like people are inviting you out. And if you don't go in enough time, then you're like not on their level. And then it's weird because when you show up like. You're dead sober.
But true, but with Fran, I would never feel that way. Yeah. Like, if I showed up dead sober to wherever Fran was, it would never make me uncomfortable.
Like, I have to catch up. Like,
oh, fair. If it's, like, friends that are not, like, super close with, definitely. But Fran, it's like, I really don't care.
Yeah, it was just to come literally have drinks.
Right. And Fran sent me a picture of herself, and I was like, oh, you know, you're pulling me in, but... Not all the way.
Wasn't good enough.
I needed some rest, though. I definitely needed some rest. I feel like Noah saw me last week. Oh. I was getting very, like...
Yeah.
Guys, I forgot to tell you what happened on Friday night to me.
Oh.
I had a peanut scare. Yeah.
What happened? Bad one? Did you have to use your
EpiPen? It wasn't that bad, but I thought for a second I might have to.
You carry it around everywhere with you, I hope.
I'm starting to now.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. No. Well, what happened?
Friday night, I just was like, all right, I'm not going to do anything. And then like took an edible and then I got really hungry, obviously. And I had leftover Chinese food that I had already ate like the day before.
Yeah.
And I just like ate the rest of this vegetable fried rice. And then I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep early because I'm going to go out tomorrow. Like I'm just going to get sleep. And then I'm like laying in bed and my stomach starts like, it's hard to explain the pain that you get from this. It's not like normal stomach pain. It feels like someone's like stabbing your stomach from the inside.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And I'm like, what is this? Like I thought I was trying to get rid of it. Like kept going to the bathroom and it just kept kind of just staying. And then I was like, didn't realize, but I just started like itching myself and I was in the dark. So then I turned the lights on and I had like bumps and hives all over my like body.
Oh my God.
But I could still breathe fine. Usually that's like.
Yeah.
And I hadn't eaten for like a few hours. So you
ate the food already. And this was your second time eating.
No, usually when I eat it, it's like my whole mouth goes numb and I can't breathe like immediately. So I was like, I don't know what's going on. And like, it was like 4 a.m., but I called my mom. I'm like, I don't know what. Like,
that's so scary.
Yeah. And then I just went to Duane Reade and got Benadryl. And then I just watched Entourage for like 2 hours and it kicked in and like, within like an hour or two, I was like,
so the Benadryl
back to normal.
You?
The Benadryl got rid of everything, and like my stomach pain just went away. But like, I forget how like scary it is until.
Oh no!
I guess really scary. Chinese food.
Oh, I'm never ordering
it.
Which
peanut
sucks.
Oil?
Peanut oil. Yeah. Like I don't know what it was because I had it the day before
I know that
and
there's
nothing.
Some food with like the peanut sauce, like
When you get in every order like allergic to peanuts,
and cold noodles and things like that.
Yeah, like pad thai has like crunchy.
Yes,
but I've ordered that same thing a million times. I had it the day before, like same thing I was eating.
Oh,
so I don't know what happened.
Scary.
So maybe like there was a small amount of something
like in the bottom,
accidentally.
Like,
that accidentally made its way into the container.
Yes.
My goodness. Well, glad you're okay. Jesus,
you really are. That's scary. Well, you should really carry your EpiPen around.
I do. I have it in my backpack right now.
Okay, good. Good to know. Good, let's keep that. Let's keep that. Let's stay strapped. All right, let's get into the topics for today. We got Justin Bieber's new album. Chris Harrison is hiring a powerful lawyer to deal with whatever is happening in the Bachelor franchise. Kylie Jenner is under fire for posting about a GoFundMe for one of her friends who got into a serious accident, looking for $60,000. Everyone's confused. Why didn't Kylie Jenner just give the $60,000? And Bella Thorne is engaged to her Italian pop star boyfriend, now fiance. So let's get into it, starting off with Justin Bieber's new album. As we've been talking about on this podcast, it is very important to take care of yourself, whether that's eating healthy, working out, taking vitamins. It's very important to take care of yourself, and you can do that right now with Care Of. I and Fran, that's not even a way to say a sentence. It's not. My brain is so foggy. That's besides the point. Fran and I both have taken the Care Of quiz and have been given vitamins for what we need and for what we had filled out in this quiz. Fran helped me with mine because I was struggling. I was like, I need so many things in my life. I don't even know what to pick right now. But it was a lot of fun. And now I take these vitamins every day. I take fish oil. I take vitamin D. I take iron. I feel so good. They come in these great little mini packets that are already so curated for you. It's not like you have a bunch of bottles lined up. You're keeping all these bottles in your apartment or house and you're just like, I have so many bottles everywhere. That's not the case. It's these little tiny cute packets with your name on it. And all the pills divided each day for you to take. All you got to do is take the Care Of 5-minute quiz, and it asks you questions about your diet, your lifestyle, your health concerns.
Fun quiz.
It's a fun quiz, and it helps you decide what you need, what kind of vitamins you need. Right now, you can get vitamins curated for yourself and your personal health if you go to takecareof.com and enter code CITO50, and that will get you 50% off your first Care Of order. Go to takecareof.com, enter code CITO50 for 50% off your first order. Like I said, you take the online quiz. Everything's curated for you. You'll get vitamins that you need.
Perfect.
Vitamins are important. They're essential in your life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everyone's always wondering, oh, what vitamin should I take every day? This will tell you. This will pack it for you.
Yep.
This will be the easiest way that you incorporate vitamins into your life. Trust me, I've been taking my vitamins every day from Care Of, and I love it. So go to takecareof.com and enter code CITO50. And get 50% off your first order. Justin Bieber released his new album, Justice, on Friday. This was a pleasant surprise. Yeah. I will say it was a lot different than Changes. It gave us those pop hits and
good beats.
I liked the album.
It's a good album.
Yeah, it is.
It was a good album. I've enjoyed it. I've listened start to finish a couple times now. And it does feel like, it just does feel like, This is where Justin Bieber should be living in the type of music he puts out. You know, Changes was a different vibe. It's a direction that he wanted to go in, and it was just something that I feel like none of us were really familiar with when it came to Bieber, and it was like a shock to the system.
Mm-hmm.
Justice feels like we're coming home. Just feels like this is vintage Bieber. He sounds great, big, like, kind of dance song type, some like, dancey vibes, like, you know, good, I guess, what's the right word for it? Good tracks, good beats. Like, they're produced very well.
Yeah, I do think that this is his wheelhouse. Changes was more R&B, and some people enjoyed that, power to them. I feel like Justin Bieber is better when he's being a pop star, when he's putting out these catchy beats, like you said, well-produced tracks.
We're
using very, like, buzzwords.
I know, totally
right,
buzzwordy. Anyways, things for, yeah.
I
but
want
it's just how I would describe it. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, the instruments
are popping.
I was
just trying to come up with a different word for you.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so here's the situation, though. Before Justin put this out, he was saying that, you know, he wanted to name it Justice because, you know, there needs to be justice in the world. Yep. There needs to be change in the world. Yep. And he included the MLK interlude in the album. And there were very mixed emotions about this because obviously he meant well and had good intentions with this.
Yes.
Of course. He would not put that in with bad intentions. He thought he was doing a good thing.
Yes.
It just didn't really fit with the rest of the album because I felt like the rest of the album and the songs we were getting were love songs. They
100%.
Were like, seemed like they were about Haley.
Every song I think was about Haley.
Right. And
every single song.
It wasn't like a song about it wasn't songs about justice, which I was confused why he labeled it as that because he didn't have to. You know, nobody's out here being like Justin Bieber needs to put out an album about the state of the world. He went and did that and put it upon himself. And so that's why people are like, okay, well, this album wasn't really about that. And then it's just confusing. He marketed it in a very confusing way where he could have just marketed it as a new Justin Bieber album.
Right. And obviously the album is called Justice. So.
Right.
It's tough because I agree with you. I do think he meant well. I do think that while none of these songs matched with the message that he was, you know, they felt like love songs. They felt like there's constantly referring to a woman. It has to be Haley. It's all like a lot of songs about being in love or being stable or it's
missing
even
your
just
loved
like
one.
yeah exactly. So the one thing about it that I'm like, okay, maybe, is just because Justin Bieber is one of the biggest pop stars on this planet and the amount of plays this album is going to get, you know, people are gonna be listening to that MLK speech. Maybe that some people that I've never heard it before who are going to listen, right?
Right.
However, it in the context of the album, it does not really make any sense. It feels like Justin kind of just threw it in there to try. You know what I'm saying? Like it feels like it could be almost not like a pandering situation, but it's just like I'm going to say this album is about justice and the world and that things need to change in our world, and I'm gonna put this audio clip of Martin Luther King in the middle of the album and start the first song with his voice as well. Like Too Much is the first song on the album, and that's the first thing you hear when you press play. So those are the only times that there was any like you're like, okay, this goes with what he said this album was going to be.
Yeah, and I do agree with you that definitely people who listen to this album are going to hear that, which is good.
Yeah.
Any way it's heard is good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense to me that you would market this album as justice and like change for the world and only have that included and make all the... Which... Like I said, he could have just put out an album as Justin Bieber and like not said it was going to be about any of those things, and people would have been fine with it. Nobody would be like, "Wow, Justin Bieber!
There isn't even
how
a
could
song
you not
called Justice?"
Right? Nobody would be like, "Wow, Justin Bieber put out a new album and didn't mention what was happening in the world."
Yeah,
that would be ridiculous if anybody said that. So I feel like he put himself in this position where he wanted to be like, "I'm going to do good. I'm Justin Bieber, and like I'm going to make this change in the world with this album and name it Justice."
I do think his like social media presence has reflected that more. Like he's definitely been pretty vocal about all this stuff, but like the album doesn't really
exactly.
Fit in.
He's been vocal. Yes. Haley's been vocal, but it just I want to go back to
like
the
they can still
Instagram.
Be vocal on social and not you know
it just
have
is,
the whole album come out and say that that's what the album is about when it's
right when you I feel like when you say the album is going to be about that then the whole album's got to be about that right or you just go you don't mention it at all. When he posted about this album, I'm trying to find the Instagram caption that he
I have it.
I wonder if he was just he was like recording over the summer when
I have it. When he announced the album, he wrote, In a time when there's so much wrong with this broken planet, we crave healing and justice for humanity. In creating this album, my goal is to make music that will provide comfort, to make songs that people can relate to and connect to so they feel less alone. Suffering, injustice, and pain can leave people feeling helpless. Music is a great way of reminding each other that we aren't alone. Music can be a way to relate to one another and connect with one another. I know that I cannot simply solve injustice by making music, but I do know that if we all do our part by using our gifts to serve this planet and each other, that we are that much closer to being united. This is me doing a small part, my part. I want to continue the conversation of what justice looks like so we can continue to heal.
So this caption is
about Hailey Bieber. Yeah, every song, like
this caption is confusing because I feel like he contradicts himself in this caption alone, because he mentions suffering, injustice, and pain can leave people feeling helpless. Music is a great way of reminding each other that we aren't alone. It can be a way to relate to one another and connect with one another. I know that I cannot simply solve injustice by making music, but I do know that if we all do our part by using our gifts to serve this planet, we are much closer to being united. I feel like what he was trying to say in this part was, I am musically gifted. Yeah. That is my talent. Yeah. I'm going to put out an album
that I hope you all love and can relate to, because these last few months have...
Right. I want to put out music so everybody can feel joy that I'm putting out music. Right. I get that. It's at the end where he says, I want to continue the conversation of what justice looks like so we can continue to heal.
Right.
I just feel
that's
like...
That's nice. You can do that, but you didn't do that on this album.
Like,
I hope you do that on your social media and things like that and speaking up. But it's not. Yeah, it's not in this album.
Why couldn't he just put out the announcement for his album and say, hey, guys, it's been a tough year. I want to make everybody happy with my new music. Here it goes. I'm putting out an album, Justice. Enjoy. And then he does that, and then he puts out...
Yeah.
He puts the MLK interlude in it and in the song at the beginning, Too Much. Yeah. And then people are like, oh, okay, that was cool of Justin Bieber to include that in his pop album.
Right.
Now the conversation is the opposite, where it's like... What the marketing was just off with this.
Yeah. Look, the songs,
either way, the,
songs
it's
on this
a good album,
album
but...
Deserve You, Die For You, Somebody, Love You Different.
There's a Walmart exclusive edition song called Hailey. Just, it's called Hailey. It's on the Walmart exclusive. Yeah.
Oh my God, we got to listen to that. Yeah. How do we listen to that?
It's also on the Japanese edition, but
is it out? Like, is the Walmart album out
yet?
Yeah,
I think so. I'm like on the Wikipedia track list, and it says, and European web store alternative.
Is it on YouTube somehow?
I'm sure it's online somewhere.
It's got to be.
I want people to know that we're not mad that Justin Bieber didn't make songs like he said he was going to, right? Like, I'm not mad that Justin...
I love the album. I really have been enjoying the album.
Right.
It's confusing. He just could
have just put out this album without doing that.
Right.
That's what I'm confused about. It's like, nobody would have cared if you didn't say that. That's what's confusing about the whole thing. Good songs, though. Great jams.
Look,
some good beats.
There are, there's 16 tracks on this album, and I will say too, what I really like is that Holy, Hold On, Anyone, like these are songs that we heard already. He released them as singles, and in the context of the album, I have grown to like those songs a lot more. Like, I think Hold On was the most recent one to come out, and I liked that one a lot. But I don't know what it was. Like, I just wasn't really connecting. I don't really know why I thought, like, Justin Bieber was clearly putting out singles, and then when he put the album out, it was like, oh, my God, he's got a new album. I was like, why are we surprised? He's been putting out songs, like, consistently all year. I think listening to the album more has made me also like those songs more, too. Like, I wasn't really listening to Holy or Anyone, like, on repeat, which is sometimes what I do when there's a new song that I really love and whatnot. But now I'm catching myself listening to them more and more. I really like Die For You. I really like Peaches.
Die For You. I like Peaches, too. I like... The Peaches version that was on Tiny Desk,
I thought
was really good.
The Tiny Desk, let me talk about that. The Tiny Desk that he did, sometimes you, like, forget how talented he is, you know? Just because of everything that is every way that he's talked about, and the drama and the off the field, like off the field stuff is like, you know, away from music. Mm-hmm. And then you watch something like The Tiny Desk. I watched it with my brother and I was like, you know, sometimes I really forget how talented he is. Like, he is such an amazing singer and is so gifted. That's like, sometimes you just don't realize until he's in those like stripped down mm-hmm. moments and you're like, damn, this kid can really sing.
Right. Cause sometimes he acts like a clown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It takes me back. And there's also times when, you know, he might not be actually singing live in some of these performances mm-hmm. or singing live,
have
like on the big
his,
TV productions and whatnot.
Car.
Yes.
Cover. That's,
yes.
That's really, yes. That's all when I think of like Justin Bieber being good. I'm like,
yeah,
yes.
He is
one.
Extremely
no.
talented.
Oh my. I like, was fighting kids on the playground about this. Like, not, you know, where when Justin Bieber first hit the YouTube and everybody was talking about him, and one time
hit the YouTube.
I don't know what I'm saying. But
once again, Fran is 80 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, hit the internet. And so many, like, I just remember not fighting, but arguing with kids in school who were like, oh, like, he's not that good, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, watch this video. Like, he's so good. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I feel about The Tiny Desk. It's like, oh, you want to doubt him? Go watch that. He's so talented.
If anybody's seen any Justin Bieber documentary, you would see talented he was from, like, the age of three. He's putting out drum solos. He's so incredibly talented.
Yep.
And you're right. When you see him in that rare form stripped down, you can really see
his
talent.
It's a great reminder.
The album was good. Really, like we said, we enjoyed all the songs. Just do better at your marketing next time. Like, don't act like you're like, oh, I'm Justin Bieber saving the world.
Right. Here's like, 9,000 songs about how much I love my wife.
Right. Like, we'll take the
which
songs
is great.
About you loving your wife without all that.
Nobody loves their wife more than Justin Bieber does.
Exactly.
And
we
really
it.
Look at those lyrics. It's like, holy shit, you are obsessed with her.
Good. And
yes.
I enjoy that.
Yes.
I want those songs.
Yes.
I too
agreed.
Love Hailey Bieber.
Agreed.
Just don't act like a clown and be like,
right. Don't.
I'm saving the world.
Don't announce the album and say like, hey, we're going to continue talking about injustices in this world, and then this is the album. You slap Martin Luther King in the middle of it and
right.
say like, okay,
yeah, could have just put out the album.
Yeah.
Looks like Chris Harrison has hired a powerful lawyer because he might be taking legal action against the Bachelor franchise. Who's up next on the canceled list?
Just like, so this is just one of those big, just like eye emoji type moments, right? It's like, mm-hmm. well, we don't really know what's going to happen. We don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. But if this is a step that Chris Harrison is taking, then it seems like it must be pretty ugly behind the scenes. Like Chris has hired, apparently he has hired Brian J. Friedman from Friedman and Tatelman attorneys. He is the same lawyer who represented Gabrielle Union after she was fired from America's Got Talent. And when she was fired from the show, she spoke out about America's Got Talent and the operation and said that there was, you know, problematic and racist incidents on set. And then in June 2020, she filed an official harassment complaint against producers of the show over her treatment. And then in September, they announced that they had reached an amicable resolution over the case. So this guy, he represented Gabrielle Union in that whole situation. And now it's being reported that Chris has hired this man as well, but we don't really know for what. Like, we don't, like, there hasn't been a case filed. Mm-hmm. Like, there aren't any details about that. It's all just kind of first step. He now has made this hire, and we don't really know what that is going to lead to, but it makes you think that clearly he is unhappy with how this went down, and I'm guessing is trying to fight for his job back.
How ironic would it be if Chris Harrison is the one who takes down the Bachelor franchise? Yes. Like, I feel like this is where that's headed. Look, yeah. I could picture
he's just
Robert
Mills,
everyone. Mike Fleece, and Chris Harrison sitting in a room all screaming at each other right now. I picture it. That's what's been going on, because I feel like these producers and executives of the show were put into a position where they were like, okay, obviously Chris Harrison's our guy, right? He has been for so long, but he fucked up. Yeah. People are not happy. We got to do something about this. What do we do? And then I imagine Chris Harrison screaming at them, being like, I've stuck by you guys for so many years. Right. And like, you know, this is the fight I'm picturing in my head. And I could imagine it getting really tense and Chris Harrison being like, I'm getting a lawyer. Because I feel like he imagined himself being brought back. I think with the
this
DMA.
This makes me think he never stepped away. Like, this makes me think that him stepping away was not his decision. It makes it seem like they told him, like, you have to step away.
Who ever thought it was Chris Harrison's decision to step away?
Well,
what? Of course it wasn't Chris Harrison's decision.
But also, like, him stepping away, he couldn't have come back this season. He would have missed one episode. Like, wouldn't be stepping away. So, like, it's weird that he'd be, like, shocked. Like, I don't know.
Yes, it's crazy.
Unless he knows something that people don't know.
When you're Chris Harrison and you... hasn't actually wanted any single part of this thing. It's just bullshit, because the way he phrased his entire statement after saying he was stepping down seemed like he was actually going to try and fulfill some of the steps that he laid out, when in reality it seems like that was just all bullshit fluff, and now he's just fighting to get his
job back. What else was he supposed to say? Of course he's going to be out there being like, I'm stepping away.
Is it not disappointing that is like bullshit?
Of course it is, but it's not a shocking discovery.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not like...
I'm not saying it was shocking. I'm saying it's disappointing that he put that all out.
I think now he's probably starting to get the feeling, or maybe he actually knows it's like the future of The Bachelor and like he's not part of that. And like,
it's crazy that he must have really thought he was coming back to host The Bachelor. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was beginning to say, was the fact that he probably was not the one to be like, I'm stepping away. That was a choice that they had to make because they realized he fucked up and they're like, people are not happy. We got to do something about this. Chris Harrison, you got to step away. Chris is like, okay, fine, but you got to bring me back. They're probably like, okay, we'll bring you back. We'll put you on GMA. People will be like, oh, he's doing the work. You come back. That's not the reaction they received. And Chris Harrison was probably pissed off when he was told he wasn't going to be hosting The Bachelorette anymore, and that's when he decided to get a lawyer. I'm sure he signed many of contracts.
Although he did call Tayshia, I saw, to like congratulate her. I did see like that report on the new job.
Yes.
Like on taking over.
Yes. Well, there's a part of this where he happy for them, or it could also like want to make sure he stays in the good graces of these contestants and these people that have been on the show, but behind the scenes is still trying to get his job back.
Right. I don't want anybody to think I'm defending Chris Harrison at all. I'm just like, from an honest standpoint, of course Chris Harrison thought he was going to come back as the host of his show that he's been hosting for 20 years. Like, I don't think he really understood what he did wrong. Like, I think everyone saw that. And so I think
crazy that it's happened so fast.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that he genuinely thought, oh, I'm going to do a few appearances. People are going to be, you know, they underestimated the entire situation. And I think that he definitely has signed many of contracts in which he feels that he can get a lawyer to protect him in some way with these contracts. Maybe like, he's trying to get...
He's an executive producer, is he
right,
not?
Maybe, yes. Maybe like he's trying to get money. Like, yes. Like, he's trying to get something out of this before he is taken out of the franchise.
Right.
And I feel like that kind of was overlooked on his part. Like, I feel like there are... I think him getting on GMA as early as he did is telling enough that he didn't think that this was going to be as bad as it was.
I wonder if that was like, that could have been a play by the executives being like, it's not going to go well. But like, if he goes on, that just makes it even easier for us to move on.
I feel like it was a play to be like, all right, let's test this out. Let's throw him on there, see how
like,
people react.
Yeah, we love him. Like,
right, Matt James did. What am I saying? Oh, Matt James did the Bill Simmons podcast that came out the end of last week. And he was asked about Chris Harrison and everything that went down. And Matt had said, Chris has outlined in his statement that he's committed to putting in the work. He's taking a step back, so I respect that. I hope that he does. I don't think that anybody should be trying to cancel him. We should be calling him to do that work so that he's outlined that he wants to do. I look forward to seeing him do that. That, Matt saying that was like, I feel like how we felt about this. It was like, okay, let's hope Chris does put, you know, puts his money where his mouth is and does the work. Seeing a report that he's hired this big, powerful attorney does not really seem like he is putting in the work. It seems like he is just now pissed and trying to get his job back.
Well, I feel like, of course, everybody had hoped that Chris Harrison would have done the work to educate himself as to why what he said and what he did was wrong and how he's been wrong in the years past. And everybody was hoping for that. But how, like, he's worrying every day about whether or not he's going to be brought back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And he's hiring lawyers.
Yeah.
And he's focusing all his time on this. How could he focus his time on improving himself if he's too worried about losing his job?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's not, once again, not defending him. I'm just saying, like, these are just...
I mean, you're not defending him at all.
I just feel like sometimes people can, like, mix up words.
No,
when I'm just, like, stating the obvious as to like, how can somebody put in the work when they're working on something else? Like, they're not...
No, for sure. It's what I just said, too. Like, clearly he's not focused on doing the work that he wrote that he was going to be doing because, you know, you're already thinking about the future and already thinking about, like, fighting it to get your job back.
Yeah.
So.
It's... The whole situation is so, so very confusing. And like you said, I think we like agreed with that statement. It's like, we don't want to cancel him, but we hope that he improves himself. And now it's kind of like, I don't think Chris Harrison is coming back. I feel like when you hire a lawyer, it's against the Bachelor franchise.
Yeah.
That does not look good. That doesn't look great for what's about to come, you know?
No. That's what's crazy to me too. Like, he couldn't wait one season and then see what happened. Like, they just started filming Katie's Bachelorette season.
Yes, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It just
all
feel like
so quick.
When you're Chris Harrison and you've been the host for how many years and you've been in that position of power, you're shocked that you're going to be brought back as the host.
Yeah.
You're like, how could they do this to me? We all see it. We all see why they can't. But when you've been in that position for so long, of course you're going to be like, why can't I just come back?
It does seem like they're... could be a potential bombshell lawsuit in the near future because what happened with Gabrielle Union went on for a long time and was huge news and like made the headlines for a long time. And that opened up a lot of conversations with like what was going on at NBC
and
everything.
What's happening now.
Yes, exactly. Like it's the flip, but has the potential to be as explosive. So,
yeah, what's to come for the Bachelor franchise?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't know what's to come. I'm excited for the new seasons, but I don't know what is to come out of this.
Yeah. The behind the scenes has got to be so hectic that we just don't really know the full story.
No, but I'm sure we will once this once this lawyer
once
this lawyer gets involved a little bit more.
Massive lawsuit. Yeah.
Yeah. all these topics, I feel like I need to take a moment to chill. I think Fran and I, we need to take a moment to chill because these topics, they're hot, they're heavy. And I think, you know, it's Sunday. We need to relax and chill after this. And the best way to do it is with Coors Light and Coors Seltzer. You know, I feel like on days like today, it's Sunday, we're recording, you know, we have a lot to do. And after it, I'm going to want a Coors Light or a Coors Seltzer in my hand, cold and ready to go to cap off my weekend, my Sunday night. There is nothing better when you need to hit reset. Just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill, like I said. And they've also introduced the Coors Seltzer, which has plenty of flavors. They got the black cherry, they got the lemon lime, they got the mango, they got the grapefruit. So whatever your acquired taste is, they pretty much have it for you. Maybe you're a black cherry person, maybe you're a mango person, maybe you like lemon lime. They have it covered. All these flavors are delicious and the Coors Seltzer is delightful. So remember, get Coors Light and Coors Seltzer delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart, and keep tweeting at us and at Coors Light with a picture of your Coors Light or Coors Seltzer for a chance to win CITO merch. You can get Chicks in the Office merch if you tweet at Coors Light with a picture of your Coors Light or Coors Seltzer. You can potentially win some free merch from us, Chicks in the Office. We got some new stuff coming out as well. Get ready for the spring and summer, which is very exciting. So remember, celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado, and Fort Worth, Texas.
Kylie Jenner is trending on Twitter today after she shared a GoFundMe page for her friend Samuel Rauda. He is a makeup artist who just got into a terrible car accident. He was thrown from a moving vehicle, suffering internal bleeding and multiple brain surgeries. He hit his head on the pavement. And Kylie shared the GoFundMe swipe up. She posted it on her Instagram story and wrote, "May God watch over you and protect you at Makeup by Samuel. Everyone take a moment to say a prayer for Sam, who got into an accident this past weekend, and swipe up to visit his family's GoFundMe." So his family made this GoFundMe looking for, I believe, $60,000. I think they've raised more than that at this point, but everybody freaked out after Kylie posted this. She allegedly donated $5,000, but everyone was freaking out like they are looking for $60,000. You're a billionaire. You couldn't have paid for your palace surgery.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, $5,000 when you're a billionaire is like throwing a $10 bill out to somebody. Right. Like, it doesn't make sense why she wouldn't just give the $60,000 to the family. I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm kind of like hesitant to donate shame people, but when you're Kylie Jenner, then I feel like you deserve it a little bit. But maybe there's something behind the scenes that we don't know, where like the family didn't want to accept all that money from Kylie. You know, you don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, why wouldn't they?
Right.
You know, if Kylie Jenner just wrote the check out, gave it to them and said, "Hey, you don't have a choice here. Take it."
Right.
I'm just thinking about
all the different
angles. I'm trying to wrap my head around the fact as to why she wouldn't just give $60,000.
The GoFundMe does list like the top donation, and somebody did donate $12,000. It's not
see
Kylie
that,
Jenner.
And that's more than Kylie Jenner. So you can't have people donating more than you when you're a Kylie Jenner.
Right. So I think that they first were looking for $60,000, and this GoFundMe has been up for 5 days now. So I know that she posted on Sunday, but it's been up for 5 days. He went through major surgery last Sunday, and now they're at almost $99,000, and they moved the goal to $120,000. So,
long story short, Kylie Jenner should have donated more. Or should have just gave them the $60,000.
Yeah.
There's no, we could sit here and talk about this, but there's really nothing to say besides,
right,
it's a bad look for somebody who's a billionaire.
She probably spends more than that on like Stormy's birthday party.
100%.
Right.
They're spending millions for Stormy's
I'm pretty
birthday.
Sure Stormy's last birthday Stormy was World. Like a $500,000 affair, yeah, if not right. more.
Well, that's what makes it crazy that she wouldn't just give her friend the $60,000.
Yeah. And it's hard because now
billionaires are always the cheapest people.
Yeah.
That's how they become billionaires.
I was going to say that's how you become a billionaire when you don't really spend any of your money. However, I think Kylie, like, there have been reports that, and there were totally rumors and whatnot, but of like family members being worried because she was spending her money so frivolously and not really caring. But and it sucks too in this situation when it is a family and a guy that's gone through this horrible, horrible accident that now the Kylie probably meant well by posting the GoFundMe, but her opening up the GoFundMe and posting it to the world has opened up. Yes, they have gotten donations, which is great, but like criticism of him, criticism of his family. Like I was seeing people on Twitter Googling Sam's net worth and being like, well, he's worth this much money. Like he could just pay for the surgery himself, you know? So it's like, okay, what? Like it's, we're criticizing the boy who's in the hospital.
Oh, the internet is,
it's
the worst place. It really is. I mean, have you like the last, well, I mean, a lot of these people deserve the criticism that they're getting. Like Kylie Jenner deserves it. Chris Harrison deserves it. They all deserve it. But everybody's opinion on the internet is so, it's suffocating sometimes. Like it's just too much.
Sure.
Like I find myself scrolling and I'm like, I'm reading way too many people's opinions. I can't even figure out my own at this point because I'm reading everybody else's opinions all the time.
Matt James archived all of his posts on Instagram that had everybody like freaking out. And it's like, well, you know, he just wants to shut it all off for a little bit. Clean start after The Bachelor. Clean start after he was getting a shit ton of hate after the finale that he didn't take Rachel back. The people who love Rachel were like, how could you not feel that she loves you and be with her and everything? And he, like, reaches a point, you're like, okay, bye. And everyone was posting, oh my God, he deleted all his posts. Yeah, he needed a little bit of a break.
Nobody can do anything right.
No.
Nobody can. It's just, that's like that in the context of like, this person gets into a terrible accident and everyone's like, well, why can't he pay for the damages? It's like, what are we doing right now? Why are you getting so mad about this?
I know.
Right? Spend your time on something else. Why are you worrying about this person's net worth? They got into a terrible accident.
Yeah.
You're going to start yelling at them and their family for posting a GoFundMe? Yeah.
So I think Kylie's intentions were good. However, when you are the billionaire sharing a GoFundMe that has a goal of $60,000, it's a head scratching.
Right. It reminds me of Virgil. Remember this summer he donated?
Oh, yeah.
What did he donate? $100?
No, because it was 50, I think.
Two Virgils.
Oh, yeah, two Virgils.
He donated $50. I think it was to Black Lives Matter or something to that effect.
Right.
And
right. And it's hard because, like you said, donation shaming.
People
it's
were
like,
are you joking?
Yeah. It's like, if you can donate, that's amazing, and donate what you can, but when you are
I do think
really
that a lot of times it's kind of
really
bullshit when people like complain, like when Mark Zuckerberg donates $1 million and people are like, that's not enough. Like
a million is a significant amount of money.
Something as ridiculous as like $50.
Right. And also when there is a clear number that the family is looking to hit, that's not millions and millions of dollars. It's like, well, could just help
do the math of like, what is 5,000? Like, what is that percent out of $1 billion?
Somebody
like,
said 65 cents.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy. Like, yeah, that she should have just gave the 60,000. Virgil, that's why people say keep it to Virgils.
Yeah. Or just like give like 100K and be like, let me know if you need anything else. Like, it's nothing to you.
I don't like to donate shame, but
that's for
people who aren't billionaires.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and people were definitely talking a lot about referring to him as, like, her employee, talking about it in that context. But I don't believe that he is, like, her makeup artist. We've seen, you know, she has, obviously, the people on her staff and whatnot. But I think this guy has been one of her friends who has done her makeup in the past, but is not,
and he's a friend regardless.
Yes, exactly. But not in the, like, not like, oh, as a boss, like, not taking care of their employee kind of situation. So, tough to, you know, Kylie, like I said, thinks she was trying to do a good thing, but the numbers, it's just tough. It appears that Bella Thorne is engaged to her Italian boyfriend, Benjamin Mascolo, I believe is his name. And he is like a Italian, probably rocker. I say like pop star, but I have listened to some of his music, and it's a little more angsty. Like, it's not as much... Super,
he's like the MGK of Italy.
Yes, that's a perfect way to put it. That's actually a perfect way to put it.
Yeah, he has that vibe.
Yeah, yeah. He, I take it back. Couldn't be more poppy. I've heard some stuff that felt like it was... Yeah, I've heard some stuff that I felt like was more... that Sing felt a little harder. But this is one of their... biggest songs, it looks like. It came out in 2019. Benji and Fede is there. It's like a duo. It's like the two of them. And this song's called Dove e Quando. It has like 140 million views.
That's insane. So he's an insanely popular Italian pop star.
Literally has 140 million views.
Congrats to Bella Thorne. She's engaged. They've been together for a while. It seems like they have a good relationship.
Yeah.
You know, Bella Thorne is always a confusing being. I feel like
I'm very hot and cold with her. There's sometimes when I'm in, and sometimes when she's like out there defending Army Hammer, that I'm like, you've lost me.
Exactly.
You've lost
me. She's always hot and cold, but, you know, congrats to her.
It's crazy because if you follow her, you have obviously seen this guy, and he has been, I think it was tough for them in the pandemic. He lives in Italy, and they've been going on trips, and you've seen them in different places, but... it's crazy time proposed. I don't know why I just always assumed that it was kind of like an open relationship situation, just because I felt like, well, maybe they live far away because they're so far away. It's like we're together when we can be together, but when we're not together, we can kind of do whatever we want. But an engagement makes this pretty serious.
I always got the vibe that it was an open relationship where Bella can also hook up with women. Like, that was her man,
right?
But she was always looking for a woman. Like, when she dated Tana and Mod's son,
right?
She had her woman, she had her man, and it always felt like this is her man, but she was posting with Francesca from Too Hot to Handle a little bit.
That's true, yep.
And
I remember
some other women, which I couldn't tell if they were in relationships or not. So it was a confusion. It was like,
I think
maybe she's in an open relationship. But
it did seem like
she was potentially dating other
people.
Right. So who knows now that they're engaged?
Yeah.
I feel like once you're engaged, maybe that's when you lock up the open relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's been working so well and that's why you got engaged, maybe you keep that open relationship open.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Italian Thorne's pop star. Come such a long way since the podcast started. Remember?
Oh,
brought you two together, and then she's been on the podcast twice.
Yeah. Bella Thorne always reminds me of Fran. I don't know why. I think it's just because we just... would sit on the couch at the old office and talk about Bella Thorne's Snapchat stories. Mm-hmm. That's how we bonded over pop culture. But that's when Tana was involved.
She was like one of the first big interviews we had too, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. And she was one of our guests that we wanted so bad.
And we got her right away.
Yeah. And it was it was whoa. Like,
yeah, oh shit.
She's been on a few times.
But he's also a DJ. Interesting.
That doesn't surprise me. He has DJ vibes.
Yeah, no, definitely does. Definitely does. Benji Mascolo.
Give a little more Italian pop to that.
I for some reason, like, the worst, like, Italian accent is popping into my head, right? Like, I'm like, I was like, I could try, but in my head, I'm like, oh, Benji Mascolo.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. That's perfect. Just end it on that.
All right, that wraps up today's episode of Chicks in the Office. We hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy the start of your week. We hope it's fantastic, fabulous, all things of the sort. You know,
have a great week.
Have a great week. We love you. Bye. I was trying to give a motivational ending, and it's Sunday. The brain is fogged up. So everybody, have a great week. We'll talk to you on Wednesday for our first non-Bachelor Bachelorette Recap Wednesday episode. What will we do, ladies and gentlemen? You'll have to wait and see. We don't even know, but it'll be something good.